This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
We have plenty of regulation. The problem is that nobody's obeying the regulations. Nobody's obeying the law. Hank Paulson is now up for criminal indictment for having squandered those TARP funds in a criminal syndicate along with his banking buddies. So these guys are facing serious jail time. They have apparently made off with tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of the citizens' money. Outright theft under what you could call RICO, which is anti-racketeering laws. That's why the people are upset. And there's a global insurrection against corporate occupation. I'm siding with the global insurrectionists. I think they've got a great point. And I want my face out there and let them know I'm on their side, because they're going to win this battle, because these banking oligarchs have gone too far and they're going down.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show that puts the fun between your legs. I am your host, the Stimulator, and yes, Michael Jackson is dead. Now, why would I report on the most over-reported story in history? Well, because it's the first time in a long fucking while that the ass-munching turd-tokers, also known as the mainstream media, had given more than 5 minutes of airtime to the death of a brown person. Never mind.
A black man made the skin white and the hair straight, and you know why?
No.
You sick fucking country make the black man hate himself just like you hate the Arab and the children you bomb over here.
And in other overreported news, police in Tehran use batons and tear gas against protesters who are unhappy with the current government. Wait a motherfucking minute, that's the wrong tape. That's in St. Paul last year from the RNC. Hold on. Hey, what the fuck is going on back there? Come on, Joe, get it together. Anyways, while America was busy distracted with Jackal's autopsy, there was a coup in Honduras, a country that served as a staging area for many CIA and U.S. military operations.
They authorized up to $20 million worth of emergency military assistance to Honduras, including the use of U.S.-piloted helicopters to fly Honduran troops into the battle area.
Apparently, the motherfuckers on top wanted to seize power and plug the northward moving wave of change that has swept South America. But those naive motherfuckers don't understand the non-linear nature of the motherfucking resistance. Just a little bit north in Guatemala, Mayan villagers burned a pickup truck and an exploration drilling rig belonging to the shit-mining douchebags from Goldcorp. In Mexico, the Earth Liberation Front torched a police truck in solidarity with Peruvian freedom fighters killed in June while defending their land. And in West Virginia, NASA scientist James Hansen was arrested along with 30 others for trying to enter a facility owned by the mountain-destroying dick twirlers from Massey Energy. Hansen and company are pissed off at Massey for their destructive practice of mountaintop removal to extract so-called clean coal.
Not only something we should do, it's a responsibility to draw attention to the matter and to try to get Washington to pay attention. They can't compromise their way out of this. They've got to realize they've got to phase out coal emissions. And you have to start with mountaintop removal because of all the other things that it does. Mountaintop removal provides only 7% of our coal. We could stop it right now.
In the nation's capital, protesters blocked the street in an act of defiance to Obama's meeting with Colombia's Álvaro Uribe. These two pieces of shit were gangsta planning to expropriate more lands from indigenous Colombians for oil and gas extraction through a much-hated bilateral free trade agreement. And if that wasn't retarded enough, check this shit out.
The energy bill that passed the House will finally create a set of incentives that will spark a clean energy transformation in our economy. It will spur the development of low-carbon sources of energy, everything from wind, solar, and geothermal power to safer nuclear energy and cleaner coal.
The much-touted American Clean Energy Security Act passed the House by a slim margin and is being hailed as an ambitious step towards curbing carbon emissions. But as you just heard, that punk motherfucker keeps pushing dangerous and dirty energies that benefit the greedy motherfuckers that funded his campaign and who don't give a flying fuck whether or not you and I can breathe the air. But in Vancouver, British Columbia, over 5,000 folks took to the streets to promote a clean, safe, and carbon-free mode of transport.
I come to Critical Mass to make a place where bikes are the norm. I want to have streets where, you know, you can ride down the street and be the expected occupant of the street instead of a whole bunch of cars. So yeah, Critical Mass kind of makes that area where I don't have to worry about cars running into me, changing lanes onto me. I just got, you know, my 1,000 closest friends to watch my back.
Many folks are happy that that thieving son of a bitch Bernie Madoff got a gazillion years in Club Fed. You and I know that the crooked ass gangsters that control this shit are still running wild like starving dingoes on the set of Barney the Dinosaur. Makes you want to smash some shit up, doesn't it? And as the economy continues to collapse, more and more decent and hardworking folks are forced to abandon their servitude to the banks and trade their homes for tarps in what the media has been despectively calling tent cities. To dispel mass media disinformation about these settlements, I bring you Bruce Beavers of the Seattle community of Nicholsville. Hey Bruce, how the fuck are you?
I'm okay.
So what the fuck is Nicholsville?
Well, Nicholsville is a homeless encampment that have the goal to find some permanent site and build on a place that people could be homeless and stay up to about 1,000 people.
Why the fuck do people live here?
Well, people live here for different reasons. Me myself, I was actually my house got foreclosed on February 2008. And I wound up homeless. I bought my house in 95 in Berrien. And I lost my job. I used to work at a place called Acme Food Sales. I was a warehouse manager from 95 to 2005. And just lost the job and I couldn't afford the mortgage no more. And I moved to a place in Federal Way. And I worked at a place called Dollar Tree. I was a system manager. And I just couldn't make up that money that I made from being in that job for 10 years. And my house wound up being foreclosed on because I couldn't hold a mortgage. There's lots of other people that's probably in my same situation. Some have different situations. We all are different. You know? And Nickelville is a place that no matter who you are, they'll allow you to come in and have a place to stay. Keep your stuff, you don't have to carry your stuff over up and down the streets. There's like a stigma with homeless folks. People don't like it because they see people carrying their clothes and pushing baskets and stuff in their nature, and they kind of steer away from you. Nickelville is a place that allow you to keep your stuff where you have it at each day. Go in and get your showers. You can go and look for your jobs. You can look presentable, you know, to the public, and it's not that bad of a situation.
How do you keep this operation running smoothly?
We stay together by rules. We have two head of securities. We have three arbitrators, we have two kitchen coordinators, two donation coordinators, two tent masters, two wood coordinators. And what we do, we have weekly meetings. Every day at 6 o'clock, we have a meeting to talk about what's going on, what we need to do, if we need to make a new rule, if people following the rules. What happened here, when we bring people in here, you're screened for being a sex offender, you're screened for all sex thing. You know, you can't have no drinking, there's no drugs, there's no violence. And if you have none of those things in your background that don't keep from coming in to see us, we let you in. And you do security twice a week, 3-hour shifts. That's to give back to Nickelville.
Do you like living here?
It's not what you would call an enjoyment type of deal. After a while, it becomes home if you're here for a while because you're not on the streets. I enjoyed having my place where I work. But since Nickelville brought me in, I've been able to have my stuff in a tent. And I guess I have to enjoy being it. I put it like this. It beats being on the streets and sleeping in doorways, being woke up by the police, harassed by people. Some folks actually go to sleep, and the next morning they don't wake up because, you know, you have people actually robbing the homeless, you know, which I don't know what you're going to get out of it, but they still people go out in clubs and get intoxicated, see somebody sleeping on the street, they beat them up. Take what they got, just harass them for the heck of it. So it's dangerous, and it's more dangerous for women, and there's a lot of them too. So Nickelville helped you, it would actually help you keep from having that kind of problem.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. The following slaves get big ups for helping make the show happen. Malvada, Amy, Matthew, Jamie, Galen, Scott, Sarah, Patrick, Anita, Carl, Nicole, Carol, Sumner, Stephen, Dan, and Peter. Spasiba. To comment on this show or to give me camping tips, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Now beat it.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.